CITR 101.9 FM presents News 101, Vancouver's volunteer-produced student and community newscast.
Now here's your host, Brad Pepping.
Good evening. In the news this week, we talked to AMS VP External Tim Chu about UBC and the Olympics. Our partner publication, the UBC, brings you a look at this week's campus news, and we take a look at student opinion about the upcoming Winter Olympics. We'll have all this, plus sports and your weekend weather forecast coming up this half hour right here on News 101. First up, I'm happy to present this weekly series with the UBC, a look at campus news with Justin McElroy and Samantha Jung, who are in studio this afternoon bringing us the headlines from this week's front page.
Hello, and welcome to UBC Front Page News. I'm Justin McElroy.
And I'm Samantha Jung. Here are this week's front page stories. Students from VCC, Emily Carr, and Douglas College have launched a campaign to push Premier Gordon Campbell for a universal U-Pass. The campaign, called One Pass Now, is pushing for a $25 U-Pass for all students in the Metro Vancouver area. The website asks the question, "You pissed about U-Pass?" and urges supporters to text One Pass Now to 212121 to support the push for a cheap transit pass.
After years of contentious negotiations, teacher evaluations at UBC have been made partially public to students for the first time. However, students are arguing for greater openness in the program, which currently has very little practical value for them. Only professors who consent to disclosure will have their ratings made available to students. In addition, results are also held for courses should they have more than one instructor, have an enrollment of less than five students, or if it is the first year that the instructor or course is offered at UBC. AMS VP academic Johannes Rabanes said that the UBC system will improve as more professors add the results to the site. The important thing for students is to lobby their professors as much as possible to take that step to opt in, he said. Once a tipping point has been reached in terms of the number of professors registered, the resources, relevance, and usability will vastly increase.
While UBC students were taking summer courses and working, English literature alumni Jean-Marc Dykes was biking across America to raise money for lupus research. Dykes began his journey on May 28th in Vancouver and 58 days later ended up in Boston. He told the UBC that the decision to ride came out of a desire to find a cure for a close friend, Deborah Heiberger, who was diagnosed with lupus. To date, he has raised over $10,000 for lupus research and will donate the money on September 22nd to the Bryam and Women's Hospital Lupus Center.
UBC President Stephen Toop addressed a packed audience last Friday at the first annual President's Campus Town Hall at the Chan Center. The meeting served as an opportunity for Toop to formally outline the proposals in UBC's new plan, dubbed Place and Promise, which is replacing Trek 2010. With the question of this year's $25 million budget deficit looming in everyone's minds, Toop made clear the importance of linking the UBC plan to concrete budgeting process. He argued that UBC is remarkably well-placed financially, given the circumstances worldwide, and attributed the university's strong position to increases in operating grants from the provincial government.
The AMS is considering holding a referendum to increase student fees in order to alleviate their $250,000 structural deficit. The fees would be tied to CPI, or in other words, in accordance to the cost of standard living. The AMS Budget Committee is expected to finalize their proposal by November 2010.
Four UBC students were among 25 Greenpeace activists who were involved in shutting down operations at a mine in Fort McMurray, Alberta, for several hours in order to send a message to both the American and Canadian governments to cease development of oil sands for oil production on Tuesday, September 17th. The students boarded a two-story dump truck and a large tractor. The company did not press charges.
Vancouver band Hey Ocean played at the Chan Center on September 17th. The band's lively and distinctive brand of indie pop has put them in the spotlight on local radio networks. Fun fact, lead singer Ashley Ball told the UBC that her second job is as a voice actor for children's cartoon shows.
Prices at the UBC Bird Coop are lower, but the lineups are longer. Gym goers say that it is busier than ever thanks to the change in fees, which has reduced the price of a one-semester membership at the Bird Coop to $25. Laura Geary, the Bird Coop's manager, declined repeated efforts for an interview, but said in a statement, "I think the student rate is good for the students. It gets more of our students active and enjoying the Bird Coop."
UBC recently opened up five new child care centers this summer. However, the AMS said that the recent developments are not enough. AMS VP External Timothy Chu is here to answer a few questions. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
The AMS has publicly stated that the recent opening up of new childcare centers on campus is not enough. Why is this?
Well, first of all, the wait list for the childcare centers have been approximately 2 years. So students are waiting 2 years in order to be able to get a space. We're seeing around 1,500 people waiting on the wait list. And even though these new childcare facilities have opened, the wait list has remained the same. And this has actually been confirmed by UBC Childcare Services.
You do realize that the Board of Governors recently passed a motion prioritizing childcare and that there is a draft of a plan to increase spaces?
Absolutely, and we think that's a good first step. But the issue here is making sure that childcare is affordable and it's accessible and it exists. So all levels of government, including the provincial government, needs to step in. Same with the university. But what we have seen from the provincial government is that they've cut the major capital grant. They've completely abolished it. They've cut the minor capital grant by 60%, and this has left UBC childcare facilities in the existing situation as it is now, where you have students waiting for 2 years in order to get into these spaces.
Okay. So is the AMS taking action on the issue?
Absolutely. We're working with the Coalition of Childcare Advocates. We're working with the UBC Daycare Parents Council to push the university, to push the provincial government for funding to create these childcare spaces.
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks.
And this is the UBC News. I'm Samantha Jung and Justin McElroy, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you very much for coming down. We always appreciate having the UBC's opinion and coming down to speak with us. It's now time for a break, but stay tuned. Up next, we bring you Word on the Street. What are UBC students thinking about the upcoming Olympic Games?
CITR 101.9 FM presents Sub-City Dwellers, September 29th at Mahoney & Sons Pub, with special guests Great White Shark and The Valuables. Hear Sub-City perform tracks from their latest CD, Where's the Noise? Show starts at 2 p.m., tickets at the door.
I stopped trying to define punk around the same time I stopped trying to define Islam. They aren't so far removed as you think. Both began in tremendous bursts of truth and vitality that seem to have lost something along the way. The energy, perhaps, that comes with knowing the world has never seen such positive force and fury and never would again. Both have suffered from sellouts and hypocrites, but also from true believers whose devotion had crippled their creative drive. Both are viewed by outsiders as unified, cohesive communities when nothing can be further from the truth. I could go on, but the most important similarity is that, like punk, Islam is itself a flag, an open symbol representing not things, but ideas. You cannot hold punk or Islam in your hands, so what could they mean besides what you want them to?
CITR and the Vancouver International Film Festival present Twakor, The Birth of Punk Islam. Misfit Muslims the world over embracing a new subculture called Twakor, otherwise known as punk Islam. The film follows the three misfit rebels who dreamed up the whole thing.
We should go out west sometime and just load up a van till we can't fit no more and then have guys hanging off the side like in Rawalpindi, down the I-90. Get a van, make like an interstate Jamaat.
Twakor, The Birth of Punk Islam is played Saturday, October 3rd at 9:30 p.m. and Monday, October 5th at 1:15 p.m. at the Empire Granville Cinema. Brought to you by the Vancouver International Film Festival and CITR 101.9 Vancouver.
Sam from the Go Team, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
You're listening to News 101, broadcasting live from the Student Union Building at UBC. Thanks for being with us tonight. UBC's Vancouver campus is getting ready to welcome thousands of Olympic athletes, officials, and fans to the Thunderbird Ice Hockey Arena this winter. For a look at student perspectives on the impending Olympic influx, here's Richard Kemick, our very own newsie, with opinions gathered on the street. So, Richard, what was the reaction today when you asked students how they felt about the Olympics?
Well, overall, Brad, it was a really mixed reaction. People certainly are falling on all areas of the spectrum on this issue. When I first started asking people, there seemed to be a mix between trepidation and even mild positivity about the games. First, we have Anna and Yoko weighing in.
Well, I think it's a great idea bringing the world over here, but it's creating a lot of problems, like the Canada line. I think a lot of people aren't really liking it because it's putting a lot of businesses out, and people living in that area have to pay extra taxes and everything, so I think it's creating a lot of problems. Yeah.
Then when Aaron was asked what he thought about it, he had to say this.
More or less ambivalence, I guess, if that makes sense. I think there's a lot of politics surrounding them, and I think it's covering issues that need to be discussed.
So what are some of the issues that you think need to be discussed?
Homelessness, for instance, in Vancouver, I think is a major issue, and I think the Olympics is very good in that it brings it to the center. But I think that in that discussion, the Olympics themselves become tainted with that.
But then there are people that fell on the extreme sides of the spectrum. Leslie and Erica, coming up, were both very excited and positive about the upcoming games, where Jeannie wasn't as into it.
I'm really excited. It's so amazing to actually be here because it's, you know, it might be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited as well. It'll be really cool to actually be in the same place the Olympics are happening, even though I probably won't be going to any of the events because I don't have any money. But, yeah, it should be a good experience, I think.
To be honest, I'm not so thrilled that they're happening in Vancouver. I'm all in favor of an event like the Olympics to encourage amateur sport and recognize our athletes' achievements. But I think lately it's just kind of gotten out of hand, and there's so much planning and money that goes into it that it takes away from the spirit of the Olympics.
And then there were other people, such as Elliot, who once again showed a very passionate and hopeful and forward-looking response to the Olympics, even though people like Jessica were still very apprehensive about how they would be affected by the games.
I'm pretty excited to see all the diversity on campus and basically have the world on our doorstep right here. Mm-hmm. And as far as the negative side of the Olympics, I don't know, it might make transit really, really crowded. I'm not looking forward to that, but I'm sure they'll compensate with more and more buses.
I'm not very pro to them because I feel like everyone, this university, the government, everyone's just doing everything for the Olympics, but they kind of don't realize that after the Olympics are done, we're the people who are going to be staying here, and it still messes up our lives. For example, I'm from White Rock, so they messed up all our bus systems. We have to take like SkyTrain bus, and it drives you insane, and I can't imagine what's going to happen to us in the snow.
And then there was Case, and Case, I feel, really summed up the positive aspects of the Olympics and the half of the people in which I talked to, which were really looking forward to the games.
I'm pretty excited. I think it'll be fun to have all of that going on our campus. It's going to distract us a little bit from studying that we should be doing over reading break, but aside from that, it'll just be a party.
Do you plan to attend any of the sporting events?
Yeah, I sure do. I spent $2,000 on tickets.
And those are some current views on the Olympic Games right now. They're certainly far-ranging, and I guess the only way we'll see is when February comes around. Thanks again, Brad. Back to you.
Thanks so much for that, Richard. We do appreciate it. In the same vein, earlier today I spoke with AMS VP External Tim Chu, who gave us his perspective on how the AMS and the university are preparing for the Olympic Games and what students can expect come game time. Welcome. This afternoon I have Tim Chu, VP of External Affairs for UBC's AMS, in the studio with me. Thank you for joining us today, Tim.
Thanks for having me.
And I just had a few questions today about what students can expect during the Olympics. So to start, I was wondering if you could maybe just walk us through, you know, exactly what's going to be happening. We have that two-week reading break. And so what can students expect, you know, if they're living off campus, living on campus?
Mm-hmm. Kind of just first of all, I just want to clarify that the AMS has no official position on the Olympics. We don't oppose nor do we support the Games, but we recognize that there are going to be impacts to students, and we're working with the university and the other appropriate bodies to sort of mitigate some of these concerns. Having said that, we don't necessarily know exactly what's going to be happening during the Olympics. We've been more or less kept out of the loop in the planning process. Students haven't really been consulted in this planning process, so we don't know. What we know so far, like you said, the reading week was extended from 1 week to 2 weeks. Same with the exam period. The exam period has been extended. And we know that the university will be scheduling exams more frequently. Another thing that we know is the closures of the roads. We know that the entirety of Westbrook Boulevard will be closed from, I think, 16th Avenue up until, like, Agronomy Road.
Wow.
Which is quite substantial, especially how, I think, 8 different buses go on that to get into UBC. We also know that they're going to have security zones that are that would restrict people from going into those zones. We know that they're going to have something called safe assembly zones, which are essentially protest zones for students that want to protest. We also know that the university is restricting signage in residences that are viewable from the Thunderbird Arena, which is the venue on campus, and any other overlay facilities, which are facilities that they're using for the planning of the Games.
Okay, well, thank you for that comprehensive description of what should be going on, or what we can expect, I guess, to say. You had mentioned that the AMS has kind of been left out of the loop, and so I was wondering if you could discuss that relationship that the AMS has with the institution, you know, as the student representative body, what kind of relationship you are experiencing with UBC and kind of the proxy with VANOC.
Mm-hmm. We've been in constant dialogue with the university. We've been asking them some of the questions in regards to the planning, and they've only been telling us things that have been finalized. So we haven't been in that planning process to mitigate some of the concerns that students might have. We're worried that, for example, the transportation plan that hasn't been released yet, students still need access to research facilities to tend to their crystals or whatever research they're doing, and we're scared that the university doesn't recognize that and students won't be able to access the research facilities because of road closures. Like I said, we've been in constant dialogue with the university. A lot of the times we've been trying to get into the planning meetings, but that hasn't really happened. They try to restrict us with the confidentiality thing, saying that, yes, you can come to these meetings, but you can't tell anybody what we're doing. And we felt as the AMS that that was inappropriate because we have an obligation to go and tell our constituents, our students, the 45,000 students that we represent here at the AMS, what is happening. So we didn't feel that that was appropriate. So we chose not to sign that confidentiality
right.
agreement thing.
Okay. And that was a decision by the AMS as a whole.
Yeah.
Right. And so could we expect any further action that the AMS may take to continue this dialogue with the institution?
Definitely. Under my portfolio, I have hired an Olympics and Paralympics commissioner. He's the one that's sort of responsible with the dialogue for in regards to the Olympics with the university and other appropriate bodies.
Okay.
And we've been constantly asking the questions and asking where these security zones are going to be and what students can expect during the Games.
Right. Okay, well, you had mentioned this earlier, and I just want to touch on it right now. The what's being called the safe assembly zones and security zones and as a whole. The idea, we spoke last week with a member of the BCCLA, and the idea of a safe assembly zone does seem slightly problematic, especially on campus. So I was wondering maybe if you could touch on that, or even just explain to us how, if students should choose to protest, what they could expect from the AMS.
Mm-hmm. First of all, let's sort of take a trip down memory lane. And I want to bring up the issue of APEC. This was actually brought up in APEC where they had zones for students to protest. And according to my understanding, these zones were quite far away from the actual event that was going on itself. And then students had a protest and conflicts with the authorities. So these safe assembly zones, we don't exactly know what they're going to entail. We have been reassured by the VP External and Legal Affairs, Stephen Owen from the university, that there won't be protest pens or fences or anything like that. We've also been reassured from RCMP and the Vancouver Integrated Security Unit that the rights enjoyed now by students will be the same rights that are enjoyed during the games. But we're sort of weary of this because students currently can walk up to the venue and hold a picket sign. We're not sure whether or not that can occur during the games. And so this safe assembly area, where we don't know where it's going to be exactly, we don't know how far away from the venue it's going to be, and we're definitely concerned in regards to whether or not they're going to bring in fences and what kind of restrictions on expression there will be.
And we've also, from different press releases that VanOck has released, we've learned that they are training what is called the ominous name, the Vancouver 2010 Security Unit, or VISU. Mm-hmm. And these will be volunteers and also with security personnel who will have the ability and the freedom to patrol venues, Olympic venues, and remove any of that political, racial, or further kind of protest or any type of, like, even T-shirts. Since Thunderbird Stadium will be an Olympic venue, can we be expecting VISU security to be patrolling the campus? And is that a kind of a threat that, or an issue that the AMS is dealing with as well?
We've been definitely told that there's going to be more of a security presence on campus from the university, from VanOck, from VISU, and all them. Whether or not they will actually be restricting people and their political expressions, we don't know. And I guess we won't know until the games. But like I said, the AMS is probably going to remain quite cautious into how they're going to be implementing this, the restrictions on students.
Do you have any further comments about the Olympics? Or?
There is one more. I just sort of wanted to point out that after APEC occurred, the Board of Governors, which is the highest governing body at UBC, passed a resolution calling for rigorous consultation, a rigorous consultation process the next time a major international scale event is to happen at UBC. This hasn't happened, and we're quite concerned because it seems like the planning process for APEC is almost exactly the same planning process for the Olympics. So what we're, the message that we're trying to tell the university, and we don't feel that it has necessarily gone through, is we want to see some consultation process happen so that concerns from students can be mitigated, so that students can be reassured that their civil liberties would be respected. And without this happening, it seems like it's going down the same road as APEC.
Right. Well, thank you again. I'm here in the Student Union Building in CITR 101.9 studio with Tim Chu, VP External Affairs of the AMS of UBC. Thank you very much for speaking with me today. I greatly appreciate it. And best of luck with AMS Affairs and the Olympics.
Yep, thanks.
It's almost time for a quick break, but first we have some tickets to give away. The first caller who gives a call in the studio will receive two tickets to the world premiere of a new documentary directed by Emmanuel Schick Garcia. The Idiot Cycle, What You Aren't Being Told About Cancer, premieres this Friday, September 25th, at Empire Granville 7 at 6:30 p.m. Give us a call at 604-UBC-CITR, and that's 604-822-2487 to win tickets. Stay tuned, sports and weather are next. You're listening to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Thank you. Stand UBC presents Firewood Run September 27th at Jericho Beach Park. Run or walk to raise funds and awareness for refugees in Darfur, Sudan. Why Firewood Run? Fuel for cooking fires is an essential resource for refugees in Darfur, but by venturing outside the camps to collect it, women become vulnerable to attack. To raise awareness, each participant in the Firewood Run will carry a small piece of firewood as they complete the race. All funds raised by the Firewood Run will go to the NGOs still active in Darfur. For more information or to register online, visit www.runfordarfur.ca, and that's the number 4.
Sexual Assault Support Center offers support services to survivors of sexual assault and other forms of violence, as well as their friends, family members, and partners. They are committed to education and the support of students, staff, faculty, and visitors of all genders. They offer counseling, accompaniments, information, and referrals. They also facilitate specialized workshops and training sessions, develop public education campaigns, and hold special events related to anti-violence work. All services are free and confidential. For more information on programs and services, or on volunteer opportunities, visit their website, www.ams.ubc.ca/SASC.
Welcome back to News 101. Right now it is 5:32 and time for this week's weather report. And for that, we go to Alice Wong.
Thanks, Brad. Here's your week's forecast for September 22nd to September 25th. Today's the last day of a very hot and record-breaking summer, but the signs of fall with its cool rainy days and overcast skies are nowhere to be found in Metro Vancouver. Thanks to a strong ridge of high pressure building over the northwest Pacific coast, we will continue to enjoy lots of sunshine and above normal temperatures. The normal daytime high for mid-September is 18 degrees, but we will see daytime temperatures reach the low mid-20s this week. Monday evening to the overnight, clear with a low of 13. Tuesday, it will be a gorgeously sunny day, high of 23 and 28 inland. Wednesday, sunny with a high of 23 and 28 inland as well. Thursday, a weakening trough passing through northern BC may bring some cloudy periods. Otherwise, it will be mainly sunny with a high of 21. Friday morning, we'll wake up to some morning clouds, but it should burn off by midday. All in all, it's a wonderful start to the fall season. Let's just hope the weather can keep it up before we dig out our gumboots and umbrellas again for another West Coast rainy season. Currently, it's 18 degrees and sunny at YVR. That's your weather this week, brought to you by the Storm Club of UBC. For News 101, I'm Alice Wong.
As always, we thank Alice and the Weather Club at UBC for that report. And that's our program for September 21st, 2009. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. If you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved with the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email at news@citr.ca. Megan Tricato produced this radio program. For more news, join us Friday at 5 p.m. for another edition of News 101. I'm Brad Pepink from the entire news team at CITR. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM CITR.